and welcome to the newest episode of the Read Right to Left podcast. I, as always, am G, joined by my always wonderful co-host, Ray from Whimsical Pictures.
Hi, guys.
And this month, March, can you believe it? We're already so far into the year. We, the two of us, are going to be talking about popular, famous, infamous, divisive mangaka group Clamp. But before we jump into questions and before we get into the specifics of who Clamp are and what they've done, just a reminder, you can find this podcast on all of your major podcasting platforms, most notably Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. And if you do enjoy this series, please be sure to rate and or review. You can also follow the podcast on my YouTube channel, Simply G. That's Simply G-double-E. And links to both of our socials will be in the description as per usual. But, yep. Ray, Clamp.
Clamp, Clamp, Clamp. Everyone's got an opinion. You know? Mm-hmm.
They are surely one of those groups that you either love or hate. There's not too many people who are just kind of indifferent to Clamp.
Yeah. So Clamp is, as I'm sure most people listening would already know, a group of four women, mangaka, who their stuff is very versatile. It spans mm-hmm. pretty much every genre that you can find manga in, right? They've done shonen, they've done seinen, they've done josei, they've done shoujo, they've done yuri, they've done BL. Oh boy, have they done BL. And their stuff also, it has a very distinctive voice and distinctive style, but it has a few different distinctive styles. There's mm-hmm. very concrete eras within their art that can be pinpointed. Usually, if you look into the backgrounds of the series, this has to do with who happens to be in charge of the art for that particular mm-hmm. series, because they do rotate around their members' roles. But I'm not the person to ask about, like, you know, who was in charge of which particular series' art versus writing mm-hmm. or whatever. And I don't think you are either, G.
No, certainly not. Do not ask me. I am far from the expert on this group.
You've come to the wrong podcast for that. But just like assholes, everybody has an opinion on Clamp. And the two of us are no exception, so we thought that we would talk about the various Clamp series that we have encountered over mm-hmm. the course of our manga reading career.
And with that, I think that perfectly segues into our questions. Thank you, everyone, who sent in. We got so many questions this month, which is fantastic. And I think from that, we have a couple people asking what our first Clamp manga was. Thank you at Zakasa_2049, as well as at Storied on Shelves, who both asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
What about for you, Ray? How did you discover Clamp? What was your first foray into their work?
I seem to recall that I think, like, back in middle school, I have a vague recollection of trying to read Cardcaptor Sakura from the library.
Mm-hmm.
Back when the only series I was really reading were, like, I think Fruits Basket, plus Anima and Yu-Gi-Oh! And I couldn't. I didn't realize that there was a difference between the two types of covers in the old editions of Cardcaptor Sakura, so I ended up picking up the sequel first. And I had no idea what was happening. And I had to read them out of order because the library never had very many of them. Because they were always out. So I gave up on that venture. That was my first foray into Clamp, and it was a failure. But the first series that I read zealously, beginning to end, as it was coming out, was in my high school library, we had two Clamp series. And one of them was Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicles, and the other one was Holic. I read Holic later, once I realized that it crossed over with Tsubasa. I read Tsubasa first, and that was one of my first, like, obsessions within manga. I was so into Tsubasa. I loved it so much. I think there's a lot of people who can relate to that. It's got a good, especially the early volumes have a good sense of just like classic, like middle grade adventure vibes, with them hopping through different worlds, and you've got like this fun little central party of characters. You're sort of genre hopping with each couple of volumes, each arc, which of course at the time I had no idea that we were actually like genre hopping through different Clamp series. but you know, you don't really need, at least, okay, for the first few volumes of Tsubasa, you do not need context from other Clamp series. Eventually you do, and that's where it kind of lost me, but but for like a good 20 volumes or so, that was my shit. It was exactly what I was looking for when I was 15. I was so so on the Tsubasa train. What about you, G?
So funnily enough, I have kind of a similar timeline as you did. When I started high school, which is kind of roughly equivalent to middle school in the US, I used to visit not my school library, but the local library to where I lived. I used to take the bus home from school, and then it would drop me off kind of right near where the library was, so I'd hang out there before I had to walk home. And a big nerd that I was, I would always hang out and get books. But when I would always foray into the comic section. I wasn't really that, this was even prior to me like being an anime fan, so I really didn't know much, if anything, about manga. But one of the, this is such a weird starting point. One of the comics there was Tokyo Pop's edition of Shirahimeso, or the Snow Goddess Tales, which is like a single volume, and it's just a collection of, you know, stories about very, like, the Snow Goddess. I didn't, like, I read it, but I don't think, like, first of all, I don't think I read it correctly. I, again, wasn't used to manga. I don't think I read it backwards, but I also don't think I read it right, you know?
It's hard to tell how to read those speech bubbles when you're first getting into it. Yes,
exactly. And again, keep in mind, I was, like, 14. Yeah. So I was like, what is, I don't, this is my first real, like, manga, quote-unquote, experience. It's a very strange thing. I was like, that was weird. I didn't borrow it. I read it in the library, and I was like, oh, okay. And didn't like it very much because I was very confused. Maybe if I read it now, I'd be less confused. But
then again, it is Clamp, so.
Exactly. So who knows? It could have just been that it was meant to be that way. And having read more Clamp since then, I'm not entirely convinced it was my inexperience that led to that. So, read that, was like, that was weird. And then just kind of disregarded it. went on with my life. Jump to a couple years later, I'm getting into anime through like other different various means, and one of the earlier titles that I was watching was a series that was very popular at the time, coming out in English, Holic. So I watched that, really loved it. I was aware that it like crossed over with Tsubasa because that like they were both coming out at the same time, the anime at least in English were coming out at the same time. That was a big part of the publishing push. And so yeah, I really enjoyed Holic. I didn't get to Tsubasa the anime till way later, but similarly, Tsubasa was one of those titles that like I was aware that not only my local library, but my school library had volumes of. I don't know if they had, like, all the... I never went to my school library for manga. I was too self-conscious for that. But I was aware that they had them because sometimes they'd be on display. And I think there might have been a couple volumes of Holic. But I didn't properly get into, like, trying Clamp manga until very recently, over the COVID like lockdown period. Some of my local libraries here, this Clamp is still ubiquitous. In saying that, I had a hard time tracking anything down because a lot of their older titles are or ones with multiple volumes, certain volumes have gone out of print. Libraries aren't quite up to date in the same way that they were when you and I were 15, right? But I, through my library system, you know, a handful of years ago, I was able to read the entirety of Cardcaptor Sakura. I read Rig Veda. I read Clover. I read Legal Drug and Drug and Drop, and since then I actually have read and own all of Holic. I've also seen the Tsubasa anime. I haven't dived into that one yet because I know that it's just a bit of a mess. So yes, my foray, I was always aware of like Clamp being this big thing, but I don't have any childhood nostalgia for things like Cardcaptor Sakura or any of their more popular, even stuff like Angelic Layer, which has popular anime and stuff like that. So I am a very casual, I don't want to say fan because I'm not really a fan. Oh, Kobato I read from the library as well, and I have opinions on that one, but we'll save it for later. And Ray Earth. I've read a lot of Clamp manga, I have to say, in the last 3 years, and I can't say that I've liked most of them. Yeah. But we will wait. We will wait to get to that.
Yeah, if we want to, like, go through the quick rundown of what I've read, most of it is not recent. This is all, like, I had my Clamp phase in high school, right? So, I have read, obviously, Tsubasa and Holic, and I've read Chobits. Multiple times. I've read Wish. That was the old translation that I read, so not the new one. I've read like half of Kobato. What else have I read? Oh, I've read Clover. And like bits and pieces of other things, you know. But those are the ones that I've read in full and remember. So
there's a Stories on Shelves had kind of a follow-up question to that first series, in the second part of their questions of, do you think that starting point of where you did influence how you saw the different universes or their series in general, how they weave this larger universe or multiverse, I guess, in a way.
How do you feel, G?
Again, I started at a really weird place, but if we disregard my first attempt, I've coming into Clamp or being aware of Clamp as kind of an older person, and also with this pre-existing history, I knew that there was this multiverse or universe jumping aspect to it. I don't avoid spoilers for a lot of things, especially if I don't think I'm going to get to them. So it was not a surprise that all of these things cross over. I find a lot of the crossover stuff and universe jumping and all of that very convoluted, and for one, but also I find it very much like obviously it's fan service, right? Like it's for pre-existing fans who will get the reference. And that's fine and it's fun, but when you start building series like entirely on that premise, that's when their issues start to pop up, which is why stuff like Cardcaptor Sakura or even Holic can stand on their own pretty well. There's some things in Holic like later on that you're like, okay, you probably do need a little bit of context to get the full picture, but on its own, it's still a very well done story. But when, yeah, Tsubasa, when you start ending up with like 14 different storylines that you have to have the background on, it
Look,
feels more
see, the thing
like
is, anytime that you are having a meeting with your cohorts to discuss where you're taking your story, and the words time travel and clones both come up, you need to take a few steps back.
You need to take a deep breath, step back, and say,
What if there were
So
14
what
Sakuras?
if every main character was just Sakura, but in just a little bit different, but kind of the same, but actually the same? Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it does my head in. I'm not a fan of it. I don't have an issue with winks and nods to like existing works. I don't even have an issue with like reusing character. Like, honestly, in saying that, I don't have an issue with crossover stuff or like things that deal with multiple versions. Like, I'm not a Fate fan or a Nasuverse fan, but it's far more easy to follow for the most part compared to Clamp. And so, yeah, I've enjoyed and dealt with other series that have wide spanning, multiple spin-offs, and they're all kind of related and not related. Clamp, and again, I'm saying this as someone who doesn't have a nostalgia for them, who's read well, I've read a lot of their stuff, not all of their tentpole stuff, but I am aware of the storylines for all of those things. I don't have the fondness for some of these characters that obviously longtime fans do, which again is just that's neither here nor there. I don't think that all of the universe jumping, all of the clone elements, all of the like everyone is tied together except for Rigveda. We forget that exists. But everything else is interwoven in this grand story of universes and characters is just it gets too big for what they're I don't want to say their writing ability, but like kind of their
But like
writing
kind of
ability
though,
can
to be
handle.
honest.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we both have controversial opinions about the quality of their writing consistently.
Yeah.
Controversial but not unpopular takes, I would say. Yeah. So for me, I started with Tsubasa, and I started without knowing that it was like this big crossover thing. Except for like in the Del Rey like translator notes, they were like, "There's this like clamp star system thing going on," and I'm like, "I don't know what any of that means." Okay.
All right,
And
sounds good.
I eventually knew from the translator notes that it crossed over with Holic, so like I read that too, but I was like full in a way like super into Tsubasa and only like kind of into Holic, which is funny because now I'm like the inverse, but
All in.
yeah.
All in and holic.
But I do have, you know, a certain amount of nostalgia attached to Tsubasa. And I think that my relationship with Clamp is a weird one specifically because I started with like the big medley of all of
Yes.
their works. It's like I kind of like know all of these worlds and characters as they appear in Tsubasa, but I don't necessarily, or like I would have found out about like say what Sakura and Shaoran in Cardcaptor Sakura are actually like much, much later. I didn't have, to me, Sakura and Shaoran were the main characters of Tsubasa. I wasn't going into Tsubasa like, oh, this is the Cardcaptor Sakura characters. If they were older, that's cool. I was like, no, those are the main characters of Tsubasa. I didn't know about Cardcaptor Sakura or any of this stuff. So, like, yeah, I think it affected it a lot. Looking back now, knowing what I do now, I mean, for me, it's also the same as G. I just find it mostly pretty tiresome. I don't mind like multiverses. I just watched Everything Everywhere All at Once finally, and it slapped so much.
Best movie, love that film. Deserves
cried
every accolade.
cried a lot. You know, I like the Tezuka Star System stuff. It's cute when like, you know, these little side characters show up as Easter eggs in other series. You know, I read a lot of creators who do that, a lot of mangaka do that. But it's like when you start when you start being like, honestly, I'm thinking of like
Say
I'm thinking of
it.
like, so I teach like elementary middle schoolers, and one of the book series that I grew up on that my kids love now is like the Percy Jackson stuff or whatever. And like I still, you know, I catch up with those, I read those, I read the little spin-off series and everything. The thing that makes those work where Clamp's star system doesn't, because you see, Percy Jackson is premised on the idea that all of the mythologies everywhere are just true all at once. And it doesn't make any sense at all. But it's like whenever someone talks about it and like asks about it, the other characters just go, oh, don't think about it too hard. And they move on with their fucking
Sure.
day.
Yes, yeah.
When we start trying to come up with lore and mechanics for how all of your universes are true at once, then we start having clones and time travel at the same time, and 15 Shaorans. And, you know, I just. Also, there's the fact that we'll get into Clamp's artwork. I think. I guess I'm not too aware of your opinion on their art, but for me, like, I always think it's beautiful. Like, I like looking at their art aesthetically, it's pretty. But, in terms of, like, its success as, like, comic book art,
Sequential art
it's
is
hard to tell what's happening a lot of the time, and, like, There are artists that I could give you the names of who could probably handle or who have handled clone-related stories quite well. Clamp, particularly in the Tsubasa era of their art, which people affectionately refer to as like the Noodle People era. Everyone's about 20 heads tall. It doesn't matter which characters they are or if they're meant to be clones or not, they all look the same. Just different wigs, right? Different wigs on the same base. And that would be fine if we were just doing like a classic adventure story like we started out with. You know, especially because Clamp loves their like costume design, so everyone has like their own individual, like super elaborate costume. So it's fine. I can tell people apart. You start bringing in clones, and I'm like, I don't know which one's the evil clone. I don't know which one's the vampire. I don't know which one's like the Cardcaptor Sakura one. I don't know which one's the other Cardcaptor Sakura one. I have no idea, and there's been no attempt here to differentiate all of these clones from each other. So, so I got so annoyed. And then Fi and his stupid twin, and I have to suddenly be able to tell these two assholes apart, and I can't tell them apart either. Even though one of them has an eye patch after a while. I still can't tell who's who. Anyway, that's my that got pretty spicy, but that's my hot take.
Well, it's I feel like well, I agree with that hot take. I feel like especially latter Tsubasa, and again, I can't speak to the entirety of the manga. I haven't sat down and read it. And I'm not that motivated to. One day I'll get there, but you know, until then, it feels a lot of this like universe jumping and clones and twins and alternate versions of yourself and all of this feels like a telenovela. You know, like there's always got to be some big twist and someone doing something even more evil, and just when you think that things are, you know, fine and we've defeated evil, there's something else big happening, and you're just like, oh my god, please let me rest.
Like, the last
I
good decision
must.
y'all made was making the gay guys like gay vampires together. This is.
It's just, it's just a lot. And I can understand fans who like really enjoy that aspect of, you know, all of this being seeing the red, you know, the strings align and all of this stuff, you know, piecing the larger puzzle together. But at some point, I feel like Clamp forgot
The
their
plot.
own plot and connections of all of these characters, and they said so they just continue to pull stuff out of thin air and expect the readers, fans and non-fans alike to just kind of roll with it without ever kind of questioning how we got here, right?
Why are we here?
Why
Where
are
are
we
we?
here?
Where are we?
So, you know, I don't I agree with you as well on the art. There's probably a couple questions about the art style. Clamp is a they are phenomenal at very high detail, beautiful spreads. They don't I don't think they do movement well in comics. It's very, like you said, very hard to tell who's who. Action is really hard to follow. It's just, and especially action, if you got two clones fighting and you're like, what's going on?
And then especially like
Who am
Tsubasa is like
I?
the whole style of it is so like maximalist, which
yes.
I am a maximalist loving bitch, but like everything, there's like so much like visual effects flying around, beams and lightning and clouds and bubbles and whatever, and the two, there's, you know, three clones fighting each other. It's just, I'm so tired. Clamp, I'm so tired. It's my One Piece problem again, where it's like, it shouldn't take me 5 hours to get through a volume of this.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, as well, is that, like, Tsubasa's probably a little bit different because they're also freaking info dumping, like, all of this crossover weird bullshit. But, like, Clover and a lot of their works, there will be situations where it's just like full info dump explaining what's going on, and then also there'll be entire volumes where like two sentences are said and it's all just pretty pictures and aesthetic, and you're like, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm sure, let's just go with it.
Clover, you know, it's beautiful to look at. It was, I don't know a single thing that happened in it. I know people are like,
there's a single thing that happened.
Actually, like, the story is being told backwards. It's so experimental and genius, and I'm like, okay, cool. Right. I don't want to take that from you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I disagree.
It's just, yeah, Clover is,
I put together a lot of art projects in college that, you know, I had a whole lot of ideas about, and they were just confused garbage, you know?
So I don't want to say Clover was an experience in boredom, but I do want to say that it was not worth reading for me. Like, it's one chunky Dark Horse volume that I got. I'm just really happy that I've never, aside from Holic, I've never purchased any Clamp titles for my collection, because that would have been a very expensive process. And I don't think I would be very happy with that purchase now. God.
I do think the action in, like, Chobits era stuff is a bit easier to follow, where people have more human proportions. Because Chobits is kind of an in-between, right? And it's definitely them going for a more, like, mainstream anime style. Something like Angelic Layer 2, which takes place in the same world as Chobits. You know, they can do movement okay, depending on who's in charge of the art for a particular series, in my opinion. But Chobits has other problems that we'll get into later.
Uh-oh, the many problems. So yeah, I think we've kind of gone off course a little bit, but before we move on, we'll continue with Stories on Shelves' questions of, is there a Clamp universe or world you're particularly fond of? We've spoken a lot about stuff we haven't liked, so is there anything, any world or version, universe that you're particularly fond of from Clamp?
One of them is definitely going to cross over with you, so I'll save that one for a second. But, this is all going to be Tsubasa, because I literally have so much, like, nostalgia attached to it. But, again, like, some of those early worlds are really fun, and, like, I still remember them, even now. I remember the, like, the race car world, the, like, speed racer thing. I still remember Acid Tokyo, which is angsty and chunibyo as fuck, but you know what? So am I. So, I have a lot of fond memories attached to that series, and like, I like the Japan world that Kurogane is from. Yeah, there's a lot of things that I like in that series. There's like a cafe world too, I think. That was cute. I think it crosses over with Kobato. But yeah. And then the other one that I'm really fond of, this time with no real caveats, except where it crosses over with Tsubasa and gets messy, is Holic. I love the world of Holic. I love how it's drawn. This is like Holic to me is their best art, like far and away. They have like a very clear artistic vision for that series. I love the way that it sort of mimics like woodblock printing. The sort of like lanky, heavy-lidded look on the characters really works for the type of story that it's telling. And I just really enjoy that world and, sucker for spooky yokai stories, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Holic is my answer as well. Like, there's no question that Holic is my favorite. And it's also one that obviously in for me, I have most nostalgia for, being one of the first titles that I properly enjoyed from them, albeit through the anime, not the manga. But from what I've read of the Holic verse, and I've enjoyed a couple of, or I've enjoyed kind of the overall, I like the original kind of world from Tsubasa. I thought that was, not that they spent a huge amount of time there, but where those versions of Sharon and Sakura are from, I always found that pretty like interesting. Again, I was aware of Tsubasa long before I watched it. So when I did finally get to it, there was like I was aware that there was all of this jumping all over the place. I also find the Cardcaptor Sakura, like the original universe, very sweet and you know, like it's just kind of I don't know, it's kind of the low key or modern day Japan, quote unquote, settings of several of their works, or current era Japan, I should say.
On that note, I also really like Wish. I like the world there. I think it's sweet, and I like the sort of it gets a little convoluted, but for the most part, I like the angel and demon lore. So that one too.
I can't speak to like the Chobits or Angelic Layer or some of their other titles. And I find I do this is more a question of their artistic styling. I do find some of their more cute series, quote unquote, Cardcaptor Sakura, the Clear Card as well, Kobato. A lot of that's just a bit too saccharine for me. It I'm just I just roll my eyes whenever I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I think that's
But
why I took to
again,
Wish more so than like Kobato because it has a bit more melancholy to it.
And I haven't read it. I do want to, and this is again another question that we get later. I just it's impossible to find now is Tokyo Babylon and X. I think like I'd vibe quite well with that series again because it's a little bit moodier. It's less saccharine. So Story on Shelves, yeah, asked what we haven't read yet.
Personally, modify the question to what haven't I read that I plan to? Because a lot of these I do not plan to read. And it's the same as Yuji. I want to read Tokyo Babylon and X. I think of all their stuff, I'd probably vibe with that the most. So, yeah, and there's not really anything else that I'm like chomping at the bit to read.
If they continued drag and drop, I don't think it's an inherently good series, but I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed a lot of other series of theirs. I would give that one a shot. And as I said, I'll get to Tsubasa at some point, but it's not a high priority.
Having read all of Tsubasa, it really doesn't have to be a high priority. But yeah, so the last question from at Story Shelves is related to the star system again. And were there any connections between series that surprised you? Yeah, because I didn't realize that Tsubasa was like a mashup of everything at first, so that was a real shock, to be honest.
Yeah, for me, again, I came into Clamp with a very, very aware that like 90% of their stuff is crossover. But in saying that, like, obviously some titles are more well known from Clamp's library versus others. Whenever, and a good example of that is Legal Drug slash Drug and Drop. They do have quite a few like characters or that are featured in there or like storylines that are related to other Clamp manga. One of them being Suki, which I haven't read, but that those characters are in that for a short, like they're not featured, but they are shortly shown in that. And I was like, oh, that's. And at the time, I was like, I know this is a reference to something, but I don't know what it's a reference to. Because again, like the way you they feature, like, oh, remember these characters? And as someone again who hasn't read everything, I'm like, no, because I have no idea who they are. What am I supposed to be remembering? There were characters from Suki, and I was like, ew, when I realized, they also had the is it Drag and Drop? Yeah, they also have the wish characters, which is nice. I do like I don't remember. I might have read all of Wish. Not through maybe through libraries, I don't remember. I've read bits and pieces of Wish. I know how it ends. And I think, well, yeah, I mean those two are probably the most memorable surprises for me. But I think that's also because not a lot of people are aware of Legal Drug slash Drug and Drop, and certainly nobody's like that nostalgic for something like Suki. So it's a bit of a surprise when you're like, oh yes, this is these are these characters. I'm like, who is asking for these characters? Name me one
I
person who is
know
asking for these characters.
a couple people who like Suki, I guess.
Well, that's their prerogative.
Yeah, well, we can get into why we're dunking on Suki by going into at Sunlit Lakes question. What do you think has aged the best about their work, and what has aged the worst? This is a two-part question, so oh, I guess I'll go ahead and read the second part right now, and we'll just answer both of them. If you were to recommend something to a newbie, where should they start? So, what has aged the best, and what has aged the worst? The stuff that's aged the worst, well, they're connected, right? These things that come up a lot in discourse about Clamp. The horse made out of discs about Clamp. So they have this very strong, like, thematic undercurrent through most of their works that love knows no bounds, which is all very sweet, and it's particularly nice when you see, gay characters and like non-binary characters show up in their work, and you're like, oh cool, that's really ahead of its time. But then it gets less cute when you've got, you know, a fourth grade teacher falling in love with a fourth grade student. Or, let's say, a human falling in love with his fembot. So, it's like, you know, maybe love knows some bounds. You know?
Yeah, the fated lover theme that is in all Clamp works.
They love that.
Yes. Yeah, is certainly the most problematic issue. As Ray said, it's in one way it facilitated this kind of frankness and ubiquitousness of queer relationships in their manga that were, I don't want to say like not done, but certainly not in a lot of the titles of the same popularity of that era of manga, and for a lot of people, especially in Western manga and anime spaces, that was the first time that they, outside of maybe BL or Yaoi, however you want to say it, the first time that they'd seen a queer couple portrayed and as main characters. And you can't downplay the importance of that, right? But at the same time,
they kind of downplay it themselves by pulling all this other crap.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's like you're kind of proving everybody's stupid slippery slope fallacy.
Yes, yeah. It's an issue that is in even some, as Ray alluded to, teacher-student relationships are very much their style. That not only in the teacher and student characters of Sakura's generation, but her parents also were student-teacher relationship. It's something that gets noted a lot, and it's also prominently featured in Suki. But yeah, it's just the age gap stuff and the portrayal of that in as this like fated beautiful thing in so many of their works, not even just the student teacher stuff, because like also one of my Kobato is the other one, right? Kobato at the spoilers for this series, it's been 10 years but Kobato like dies, quote unquote, at the end of the series, and then is reincarnated and comes back, you know, 16 years later or whatever it is, as her new 16-year-old self. And the dude from the same, you know, that she knew in her first version is still waiting for her. And I'm like, ew, you were already like older, you were already like 20 or 22 or whatever when she was 16 the first time. Now you are definitely too old for her, sir.
Oh,
stop. 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 Please stop. Do not. But of course they do. And then that's, you know, and you're like, oh, you're meant to feel like, isn't it so beautiful that they have reconnected?
No.
And I'm like, this is not, this is not beautiful. I do not want to read this. This is gross and creepy and weird. Also, why has this kindergarten hired a 16-year-old? I don't know. But that's the least of the problems here. Yeah, it's not good. Even Tokyo Babylon has this, like, the young main character and the older fated lover It just so happens to be gay in that iteration. So again, I think people were a little bit more forgiving to that. That shouldn't be the case. Queer people can still be predatory.
Yeah.
But when people were like desperate,
starved for it.
Any kind of representation, positive representation, that kind of gets hand waved a little bit. It's like, well, you know, there's this fated love and blah blah blah, which is still just as bad, but thank you.
And like, speaking of the gay stuff, I can't speak to like their really new stuff, like Gate 7 or whatever. Really new. It's not new anymore, but you know, newer than the stuff I've read. But even up to something like Tsubasa, their portrayals of gay men are very strongly influenced by the type of BL that was popular in the 90s and the aughts.
Yes, yeah.
So you have a very clear, like, top Seme, who is, you know, manly and big and tough and, like, gruff and grumpy. And then you've got, like, the willowy, like, androgynous waif, like, Bottom or Uke. And this extends to relationships that aren't even necessarily gay. Or, like, they're not necessarily male-male, like in Wish, where you have a male character, human male character, and an angel who is non-binary, but very clearly portrayed to be that sort of, like, you know, androgynous, waifish type of uke, right? Like, they're not male-coded, they're uke-coded, right?
Yeah. They're so, bottom-coded, right?
They're bottom-coded. they are there to get it up the ass, and that's it. And, you know, it's nice. It's nice representation. But it's... That's probably not what they were thinking about, you know? When they designed this character. Kurigane and Fi are the same way. You know, the brother and the friend from Cardcaptor Sakura, they're the same way. It's always the same way, and it's just, it's kind of like, haven't we grown past this as a society? People, I feel like these days, a lot of the youngsters, they don't even realize how strictly gender coded BL used to be.
Absolutely.
Like, it's hilarious to look at some of these things now, but yeah, it I feel like Clamp, maybe they have in their most recent stuff, I can't speak to it, but to the point where I've read their stuff, it seemed like they never really even showed an interest in growing past that. So
yeah, I mean, I'll just add to that in the list, because Drug and Drop / Legal Drug is exactly the same. Again, not that I've read it, but X / Tokyo Babylon, exactly the same. Even Watanuki and Domaki from Holic, exactly the same. It's just, it's a dynamic that was very of the era that they were writing in, and when they were doujin artists, but it's not something that is as, one, ubiquitous, but two, as accepted as just like, well, this is how it is, by fans anymore. So, yeah, it's just tiring.
But I think we can all learn to love and accept, Jotaro and Kakyoin's Empreg Egg Baby.
Egg Baby. the Egg Baby.
That's what you're here for, people. Ancient references. To BL doujins from the 90s. Anyway, and then in terms of like the age gap stuff, I'm gonna also add to that, thinking of Chobits and Tsubasa specifically, but like there's other stuff too, is like the female character who has absolutely no fucking agency at all. And that's supposed to be cute and endearing and like, this is certainly a big, huge aspect of Chi. She's heavily infantilized throughout the series, and you can be like, oh, well, she gains more agency as the series goes along. No, she doesn't. especially not, especially not in the manga where it's like, they go through this whole like, you know, well, maybe she's like, a real, genuine AI, something that people thought was impossible, but then at the end, the twist is that, no, she's not, she's just a fucking robot. Like, she can't think for herself. Real AI doesn't exist. The anime changes this and makes it so that she gets to turn basically human at the end, because the people who made the the anime were like, oh, wait, actually, that's fucked up, never mind, we're gonna do something different. No, Chobits manga ends with, like, nope, she's a hunk of metal. She's a computer.
With the bad end. Chobits has the bad end.
And it's just, yeah, beginning to end, she's super infantilized. Sakura from Tsubasa, she's just Princess Aurora, basically. She doesn't do much. She sleeps a lot. Has to be rescued. You know, the female characters are there to look cute and wear pretty dresses and be carted around by all the pretty men most of the time. So, yeah, Holic does a little bit better with Himawari, but, like, not that much better.
Yeah, I was gonna say, aside from, like, Sakura in Cardcaptor Sakura, aside from Yuko in Holic, there might be a couple others that I'm not remembering right now. The girl from Angelic Lair, maybe.
Maybe.
Characters, female characters who are, like, the main character, they normally have more agency, but any other kind of side female character, they're not getting anything done. They absolutely need to be rescued. And even Sakura in Cardcaptor certainly gets saved by Sharon a whole bunch, which is fine, but, like, also,
Yeah, but, like, also, it's not, though.
It's not fine.
Like, of all the magical girl series in the world, you could do better.
Yeah, and even Yuko, like, currently where the series is, because she's disappeared and there's an implication that she needs to be rescued, right? Like, I don't know, it's just a weird thing to be aware of, because when you're reading or watching these things, some stuff is, like, very blatant. You're like, oh god, this is... Even, again... Kobato, I've not watched the anime, so they may have changed this, but she freaking, oh my god, her whole thing is, like, she needs to help people or give them happiness or something, and she needs to do it, like, 100 times to get all these stars to, like, become an angel or whatever the hell it is. That I can't remember the story of Kobato very much. And then at the end, like, she does, she had, like, 5 successful attempts, right, out of, like, this 6-volume series. She'd gotten, like, 10 stars, and then all of a sudden, at the end, she, like, did one big thing and got all the rest, and I'm pretty sure someone had to help, like, save. She didn't do that on her own. She absolutely didn't do that on her own. And I was like, oh, God, why are you like this? So yeah, you know, and again, Cardcaptor Sakura, she gets help from Yue and the little What's the curry? Is that the little lion thing?
Mokuna? Oh no.
No, not
Kiro.
Mokuna.
Kiro.
Curry. Yes, I was correct. I remember
too many
one
cute
thing.
Little animals.
Too many mascot characters.
Kiro, yeah.
Yeah. It's boring. Like it is actually really boring. And as you said, like Himawari is fractionally better, but she gets sidelined, I don't want to say pretty quickly, but like at one point in the series they just have to write her out because of the whole situation. Like, well, you'll never see this character ever again. And you're like, oh, okay.
Well, okay. We need to have our OTP. They need to be the only options for each other.
The only options. Their relationship
No, my bisexuality.
Their relationship is so strong, Ray, that you can't have the main character even meet another person.
Yeah.
Lest their relationship be in some way threatened.
Yeah, they're fated lovers. They're fated lovers. They were destined for each other before birth, G. So if they even lay eyes on a single other human being at any point ever, they're gonna forget about each other immediately.
Maybe the Ray Earth girls are more capable.
Yeah.
Like, they are. I just don't really remember anything about that series, and I found it pretty boring. But, again, that's a me problem.
Like, again, it's like, you can probably find exceptions to a lot of these things throughout their bibliography, just because it's so huge. Mm-hmm. But I think it's still worth, like, pointing out these sort of trends in their work that show up across quite a few different series. Especially because, like, I know people talk about the age gap stuff a lot, but I don't see people talking about the female characters that much, or, like, how gender essentialist their BL tends to be. But yeah, on that note, the second part of At Silent Lake's question is, if you were to recommend something to a newbie, where should they start? What do you think, G?
I don't want to say, like, again, I'm incredibly biased. I think that Holic is their best work. That's another question we get later. I straight up just think that Holic is their best work. I think it stands on its own pretty well for the most part. If you were wanting to get into some of their more classic, like, well-known titles. Not that Holic isn't that. And a lot of people have a lot of love for X. I feel like that might be a good starting point, especially if you're wanting something a bit moodier, a bit dramatic, more action-focused, and something that isn't too tied to the overall, like, crossover universe stuff. Then that might be a good... It's a little bit harder to find now, though, so I feel bad recommending it. And if you are wanting to try Cardcaptor Sakura, I think it is worth reading with the caveat of acknowledging that there's a lot of issues there. Like, don't go into it completely blind on those things.
Yeah, and... At Sunlit Lake even says, despite how much I adore Cardcaptor Sakura, I just find I can't recommend it to people these days due to all the age gaps. So
yeah, exactly. So, like, if you are a more informed manga fan and you've heard the discourse and you're aware of it and you're like, well, like, I'll just regard that as, like, part of the larger thing, I still want to read this, then absolutely go. I don't think there's an issue with that. I do think that, and again, this is my bias showing, I do think that Clear Card is a completely unnecessary sequel, and I don't think it's contributed much to what you need to enjoy Cardcaptor Sakura. Yeah, my vote would be probably, this is weird because I haven't even read it, but like X. I think X is probably your best bet. And again, with the caveat that it's unfinished, like we're not going to get an ending for that.
Yeah.
It's so fucking hard. That's a hard question to answer.
Yeah, I agree with Holic. I think, again, it gets messy part of the way through with the Tsubasa stuff, but it kind of goes back into its own thing after that. So with the caveat that there's part of the series you're just going to be, like, frustrated and confused for no reason, you know, it is a good series that I think for the most part, except for that part where it gets too bogged down with Tsubasa. I can recommend it on its own. I would also say Wish is inoffensive. It's sweet, a bit melancholy, and it's short. So you know, and it's got the queerness without all the, I don't remember any weird age gap. Maybe I'm forgetting something.
It's probably there. It's probably somewhere.
The central romance is fine and queer, so there you go. yeah, I guess those would be my choices, Wish and Holic. It's like, I feel like there's more interesting series that I've read from them, but they're also not series that I would recommend overall, because they've got so much shit. Okay. So, sort of related to what we've been talking about, at Subaru Zukamori says, thoughts on LGBTQIA plus aspects in Clamp's work, portrayals and storylines versus art, and in particular how the gender spectrum is depicted. So this is a lot of what I was talking about with how the male-male and male non-binary relationships within Clamp tend to be extremely gendered. And yes, by that I mean, like, male-female coded.
Yes.
Which was very much how BL was in the 90s and
the standard of the age,
But it's like, their series even going, like, into the 2010s are still like this. So, yeah, it's like, I don't know. I know that a lot of these, like, gay relationships, especially in, like, Cardcaptor Sakura and stuff, for me, like, Tsubasa, Kurogane, and Fi, that was, like, back when I was, you know, Catholic and homophobic or whatever in high school, like, that was one of my first times seeing a gay couple portrayed in any of my media, and one of the first times that I ended up really gunning for their relationship. So, you know, I get it. Like, it's nostalgic for me too. And I still have a lot of fondness for them. And I still have a lot of fondness for Watanuki and Domeki. But, like, I think we've kind of grown past where Clamp is in terms of that stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at with it.
I completely agree. As I mean, we spoke about it already at length, and that Clamp's queer relationships were very of the era that they started in, especially within the doujin scene. It was fairly standard. And it's been across their works since their first quote-unquote professional series, Rig Veda. And they're series and relationships that mean a lot to a lot of people, whether those people be in the LGBT umbrella themselves or just not having any kind of background or exposure to positively portrayed gay umbrella term gay relationships, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very powerful and positive thing. It was a wonderful sign or a wonderful thing for that availability to be there. And in a widespread mainstream series as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these are, whether it was, you know, Kurogane and Fi in Tsubasa, because that was, like, the hit series during that 2008-ish to mm-hmm. 2012 period, or whether you're a younger fan who enjoyed the characters in Cardcaptor Sakura, that being kind of your first exposure to a gay relationship. All of those things are good. Those are all mm-hmm. good things that have had positive impact on a whole bunch of people, I'm sure, in Japan just as much as outside of it. But, but as you said, current 2023 era media, even mainstream stuff, stuff that isn't, you know, relegated to BL or Yuri or even just, you know, LGBT manga, the queer characters, queer relationships, positive portrayals of those things, the diversity of relationships, the diversity of identity is so much better than it was in 2005, 2008, which is good. Mm-hmm. It means we're on a positive upward trend, right?
Yeah, and like, we still got a long way to go, but like...
Exactly. You know. But the fact that, you know, stuff like Blue Period can have characters outside of the gender binary mm-hmm. that are, you know, have anime adaptation, are wildly successful, the fact that Yuki Kamitani's series just continue to get queerer and queerer and they are perfectly happy and fine doing whatever they're doing. The fact that some of the most highly regarded mangaka in like creating stuff across the board aren't afraid to introduce characters that don't fit the cishet normativity of what is expected mm-hmm. For shonen or shoujo or jose or whatever the case may be. We're in a very different place in representation in anime and manga. If you are a young queer person or not, if you're a young person looking for better representation, it, or just any kind of, if you're reading a story and there is representation in that media of a queer relationship or a queer character, more often than not, it is a better portrayal of that aspect than you will find in Clamp. That's just because now we are in a much different place societally. And I think as in the social awareness. And also, we have so many more queer creators making these stories, writing these stories. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. I think if you are someone scrambling for, whether it be non-binary representation, whether it be gay or lesbian or bisexual relationships, there's so much better you can do than Clamp, and it's not something that's aged with society. It hasn't grown up in the same way that we expect now from a lot of our media, including manga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I am in agreement. Okay. Next, we have a couple questions regarding Clamp's art style from @catfishingwords. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on their visual style shift over the years, and do you have a particular favorite re-art style and aesthetic choices? So, like we said, there's few different, like, major eras in Clamp artwork. Mm-hmm. There's sort of the, like, 90s Tokyo Babylon X, like, Ray Earth, that kind of, like, triangle torso,
yes,
knife,
yeah,
eyelash kind of style. There is sort of the cute style that you see in, like, Cardcaptor Sakura or Angelic Layer, or Kobato.
Mm-hmm.
And then within that, I'd also put the sort of weird transitionary style that Chobits inhabits.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our beloved noodle people in Holic and Tsubasa. So I think those are the main ones that people talk about or are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a particular favorite?
We've already spoken about it. Holic, just style-wise, is phenomenal. You made note of the woodblock printing kind of aspect of it, how it captures the whole atmosphere of that series, I think really helps that series
mm-hmm.
a lot. I also, in although it is of that 90s kind of triangle torso era, that's also similarly why I am more fond of stuff like X and Tokyo Babylon. The use of, like, blacks, very high contrast, is very, like, personally to my aesthetic, it's what I enjoy a lot about that style of art from them. Comparatively, a lot of the very saccharine, sweet, cute stuff, I am not relatively a fan of. I find it very, very, yeah, there's just a lot going on. Even if nothing's being said, it can be just a lot visually, very highly detailed, which isn't inherently wrong, but I find it kind of overcomplicates something that might otherwise be just as beautiful, a little bit more simplified. And the use of, you know, screen tones and things like that can just make it overwhelming. And in a similar sense, like Clover's like that, although that does have a lot of high contrast art, I find it not as visually interesting as something like Holic. I can't speak to Chobits, obviously, and I'm not that familiar with the artwork of stuff like, well, I am familiar with Tsubasa's artwork because holy crap, that sure is a fan favorite on Tumblr.com.
There's a lot of very beautiful, very extra spreads in Tsubasa.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, okay, I'm aware of it, and it's
perfect for your 2016 aesthetic vlog.
Exactly, right? Like, it is very much that. And so, yeah, I find their darker, more moody, atmospheric stuff, stuff that isn't overwhelmingly... And I don't want to say that, because Holic does have huge, high-level amount of detail. It just doesn't feel like there's 37, like, sparkly, wispy things happening. And I'm not sure whether that's actually meant to be happening, if it's just meant to be atmosphere on the page, if it's meant mm-hmm. to represent. I'm just like, oh, I'm just...
There's just no rhyme or reason to it.
Just tell me what's going on, please. So, yeah, I don't want to say simple is better, because it's not, but I do like it more when they rely more on inks versus a screen tone, I mm-hmm. think might be just where it comes down to for me. And yeah, in a similar sense, that's why Drag and Drop is a little bit more interesting visually to me as well. It's also less convoluted than all their other stuff. But yeah, like I found it very hard to follow the action in Magic Knight Rayearth. I found it very hard to follow the action in Cardcaptor Sakura. I found it impossible to figure out anything about what was going on in Rig Veda. It's that one is just
Incomprehensible.
incomprehensible. Clover, we've already talked enough smack about already, but you know, any of their action-oriented sequences can get lost and confusing with their higher detailed art approach that they so often use, which is why I get confused and lost. So yeah, just that's
And again, I really love a lot of like high detail, super maximalist artists. It's just, I don't, frankly, I don't think they're very good, like, comic artists.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure many in our audience would disagree, and that's fine. But yeah, you know, again, I feel the same way about One Piece and Eiichiro Oda, so. I do think Clamp's art is prettier than One Piece's art,
Yeah, well, I just think of stuff like Witch Hat Atelier, right, which
yeah.
has gorgeous
Stunning.
spreads, a huge amount of very fine detail work, and a lot of action, and it's never once been confusing. I'm never lost on the page.
Never.
It
It's
is
so clear. It's just there's so much embellishment in that as well, where it's like, you know, there's all these little like swoopy, swirly, magical details and like stars and bubbles and flowers and like extra little borders, but it doesn't affect the readability. If anything, it makes it even more readable. So.
Yeah, and I think it reflects the previous experience that Shirahama has had with Western comic. Like, just comics, she has existed within the comic space for a very long time. You can see how well Shirahama knows how to put together a sequence of panels to display action happening. It's just so much more of a fulfilling experience reading something like Witch Hat Atelier, especially when they do get, you know, into more action or you know, conflict situations. You're never like, who's that character? What's going? Where? Huh? Where did they come from? Were they in the scene the whole time? Like, you know what's going on at any point. And it doesn't feel like a jumbling of still frames trying to piece together or imply a larger element of movement. Which I feel like Clamp is very good at those still frames, right? They have a particular image and they go all out. It's gorgeous. It'll have every embellishment in the world on it. And you look at it and you go, that's so beautiful. That has so much going on. Look at all of the detailed flowers and pearls and sunlight sparkling off of everything. That would be a phenomenal gallery piece. But when you are making a comic with hundreds of gallery pieces and not a huge amount connecting them aside from contextually being told what's happening, there might be a sound effect every so often. It's a lot harder to follow. It doesn't seem like they have the sequential training, or at least some of the members don't feel like they have the sequential training that we've seen with other artists who do highly detailed artwork, who do have a variety of types of series that they do, who have a very maximalist style. Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a, it's, yeah, that's mm-hmm. my take on it.
Yeah, I think Shirahama is like a perfect like comparison point to draw. I was thinking of like Ino-san,
mm-hmm.
you know, Sakamoto being a very just lush, beautiful, maximalist artist.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about like Kamatani or Hagio
mm-hmm.
are also
mm-hmm.
very maximalist, throw everything at the panel and see what sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them in particular have a tendency to just forego panels altogether.
Yeah.
But when there's something that you need to know is happening, in general, you know that it's happening. Even if,
mm-hmm.
you know, particularly in Hagio's case, you're going for this very, like, dreamlike, bizarre, surreal, out of
mm-hmm.
space and time experience. Like, mm-hmm. when you need to know something, you know it. You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, if we're talking about clones... Oh boy, does Hagio love her clones.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you've got clones, as long as you've got
yeah.
something interesting to say with them.
Yeah. In a similar sense, or like, again, highly detailed artwork, lots of action, not a series that we mention a lot on this on the podcast, but is phenomenally and hugely popular, is Berserk. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Berserk is so well known for, almost infamously so, for Miura's highly detailed artwork in every single panel that he
mm-hmm.
ever put together. It's just, but you never were like, well, what's happening? Like, there was so many big sword fights in that series. There is so many big sword fights in that series. But you're never lost as to, like, where someone is, where the action is coming from.
Who's fighting who?
Who's fighting who? It's just a very, yeah, there's ways to do this kind of style of story and comic, and Clamp is much more focused on aesthetic than readability. Maybe
mm-hmm.
is the takeaway.
Yeah. When really, if you're gonna do like comic books and not picture books,
mm-hmm.
you really need both. You need
yeah.
both.
Mm-hmm.
You need both. You can't have one or the other. You have to have both. But in terms of like my favorite style, I agree with G that Holic, I think, is... I mean, I said it before, I think it's their most successful artistic endeavor, just
mm-hmm.
overall. I find that one the easiest to read. In terms of character design, maybe because I started there, maybe because I just like lanky, wispy, pretty shoujo manga style. I do tend towards the more like noodle people type of like character
mm-hmm.
designs that they do. And I think that those are employed most successfully in Holic. There's less noise going on there
yeah.
than in Tsubasa for sure. It just feels like overall there is a very strong artistic vision for what they wanted the
mm-hmm.
series to look like. Otherwise, I find a lot of their older stuff, like in the triangle torso, I guess, style,
mm-hmm.
to be just even more baffling to read from one panel to the next, so.
Yeah.
Like, it feels even more amateurish than I feel like their more recent stuff is. So for that reason, I can't necessarily say that I prefer it, even if it is less crowded, because I don't find it any easier to read than Tsubasa. Probably, other than Holic, the easiest series for me to read was Chobits, which has a much more, I guess, mainstream, conventional type of style to it. It's definitely playing into the whole, like, moe trend of the time. And it's just, it's easy to read. That series, I find easy to read. There's not too much going on. There's not too many fucking characters. and for the most part, I can tell people apart, so. And I think the girls are cute, and I think the main guy's cute, so, you know, that's worth something, I guess. She gets to wear lots of pretty dresses, that's nice. Freya, but yeah, so, I guess, Chobits.
Yeah, see, the thing is, I feel like Clamp, if they had gone, rather than being a doujinka group that focused on, like, comics, right? If they had just done, like, comic style, or, you know, manga style fashion books, fashion pictures, that's their niche. That's their niche. They can, they've got some phenomenal outfits. Sakura has worn everything under the sun. And if they ever put out a fashion focused picture book, quote unquote art book, that it would sell a bajillion copies. It wouldn't even have to be any of their characters in that, because they have such a strong sense of style. Everything from, you know, Lolita to this more Chinese styling to all everything in between.
I was gonna say, how many sweet and gothic Lolitas over the years have based their style off of Chi or Freya?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like that is their niche, that is where their success is, and if that was all that they ever did, I would have no issue. Nothing but praise, I'd say. They are phenomenal artists that know what they like to do, that know what they want to put out into the world. Instead, they decided to do universe jumping in clones.
they chose violence.
They chose violence and age gaps, and so I must comment on it. yeah, it's... For all of the you know, negatives that I've said, there's a million Clamp fans out there that love their work for those aspects, right? Like, this is a very personal opinion and preference. But I do think that, like, I can understand why people get tattoos of their characters, because they have a lot, whole bunch of pretty artwork. Or, you know, they put color printouts or posters or whatever of the characters on their walls. They're beautiful. They are fantastic artists. It's just not as great when it's in a comic. So.
Yep. Our last two questions are good places to wrap up, I think. First with the negative, so we can get it out of the way. At Rin Reads Manga asks us, what's our least favorite Clamp series?
Of everything that I've read, which is more than, like, I've given them a fair shot, I feel. Like, but of everything that I've read, my least favorite is fucking Kobato. I just didn't vibe with that series at all. It's kind of funny because that series, the anime at least, not the manga, was what inspired one of my very good friends from high school to go into early childhood like teaching. And she's like, oh yeah, such a lovely series and blah, blah, blah. And then yeah, over the COVID break, when I read all six volumes from my library, I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever read. It's not the worst thing I've ever read, but I didn't like it from the very first chapter, and I had all six volumes booked out, so I powered through them, and then it ended the way it did, and I was like, well, I like it even less now. It's, yeah, again, it falls into that uber saccharine. I also am not like a huge fan of their ditzy female leads. Sakura from Cardcaptor, well, Sakura in every iteration is kind of like this as well. She gets a pass because she's like 12 in Cardcaptor Sakura, so like younger than that, 10. She'll get a pass, but the Kobato, oh my god, I just wanted to strangle her half the time and then bang my head against the wall the other half of the time. And so yeah, that's my least favorite.
I read part of Kobato and I was just bored, so let's see. Well, my least favorite. I was the most bored reading Clover.
Yeah,
That was a deeply boring experience.
that's what I was gonna say, is like I've disliked Kobato the most. The most bored I've ever been reading Clamp was Clover. It's just not a good time.
But it's also not that long, so. And it didn't offend me. Now, something that offended me. And it didn't when I was a kid, so this is like a complete 180 in terms of my enjoyment factor. Because I really did love Chobits once upon a yesteryear. I loved it. I read it a few different times. I've read a couple different editions of it. I've seen the anime. I still to this day get the anime's theme song periodically stuck in my head. It was part of my Clamp phase. I loved it. Looking back, gross. So gross. So gross. I liked the, because I, fancied myself a 14-year-old genius or whatever. I liked the little 12-year-old or 13-year-old genius. But his whole thing is that, like, he misses his sister, so he made her as a fembot, and he dresses her in sexy maid outfits and orders her around. And I'm like, why did you think this was a good idea? I get that you think that like sexy maid outfits are cute and you want to draw a lot of them, but can we not like put a character who wears outfits like that because she likes them into your series? Just throw Mine from Fruits Basket into your series. Does it matter? Like, you could have done anything.
And especially if this character is meant to be a sister
But
like
it's his
figure.
sister.
Yeah,
Yeah,
like
it's.
it would make fractionally more sense if this was like a university student who is struggling with the recent death of his girlfriend or something,
Yeah.
right? Like, it's still
The
weird, but
make
it's
it'd be
not, it's
weird, but
less
it'd be a little
weird.
more. But no, first of all, he's 12, and second of all, that's his literal sister that he like copied. Like, she's supposed to look exactly like her. And yeah, also, of course, the infamous, we all know where Cheese on switch is. It's so funny. What a funny joke that he has to grope her without her consent to turn her on. And it's just like every piece of lore about these Persicoms makes me hate the creator of Persicoms so much more. And I think he's supposed to be the same guy who created Angelic Layer, which is kind of hilarious. It's you know, the main guy is supposed to be, like, innocuous and nice and, like, not that into this stuff, but it's, like, he ends up being really creepy. because, like, he ends up with his computer, who, as I already mentioned, in the end, the big revelation of the series is that she's just a brick. Like, she doesn't learn, she doesn't feel, she's a calculator. You know?
Yeah.
And she acts like a baby, and it's really weird and annoying. Which, you know, Moe is, that sure was a whole era. But it's just, in hindsight, everything about it is wrong, and I feel weird that I used to like it so much.
Yeah.
I like the art in it, though. It's pretty art. Yeah, so finishing on an actually positive note, I think both of our answer is the same for our final question, which is from at C Edwards 0527. What is your favorite Clamp series? You want to say it on 3G?
Sure.
One, two, three.
Holic. It's Holic.
It's Holic.
It's no secret. We only said it about 15 times already, but, like, it is actually really good. The balance between the mystery kind of supernatural elements with the character's day-to-day life and issues, I think, is really well done. I think a lot of the side characters are really interesting, not just Domaki and Himawari, but, like, the spider, the girl. Like, there's a bunch of, like, little recurring characters that aren't the same as, like, Domaki, who is almost in of himself a main character. But they're all very strong. Yuko's a great... she's just a fun character to read about. Watanuki is really, like... he's a really strong character, I feel. He's got a lot of personality. And the
I love his growth over time, and I love Domeki's growth over time.
Yeah, and so it's... I think, as we've alluded to and said a lot of times, it's the most complete series, especially for this late in Clamp's catalog. When so much of their stuff was being pulled into Tsubasa and this wider, like, crossover universe, it still stands on its own really, really well. For the most part, caveats to that, but, like, it's one volume out of the original 19 that you might be a bit confused on. And I think as well the sequel is well done. Compared to Cardcaptor Sakura, where I could not give less of a crap what is happening. And I've read 6 volumes of that as well. It's not like I was just like, ew, this is going to be bad because it's new. No, I gave it a fair... there's no reason it needs to be, one, longer than the original, two, exist at all. Aside from nostalgia and Clamp needed money, they hadn't had a hit in a while. I do think that Ray is a solid follow-up to the end of the original series. I do hope that at some point they return to it. I think they've alluded to and said that they will once Clear Card is over. That would be nice. I just also don't want them to mess it up. Like, that's my biggest fear, is them returning to Holic and then just start doing their stuff, what they seem to do for a lot of their more recent series, especially. As it is, Ray has been on hiatus for at least 10 years, a long time. So, So, yeah, Holic is just, for me, it has the best cast of characters in so far as personal growth, in so far as relatability, I think, as well. It doesn't end up too bogged down in the supernatural stuff. I think there's a lot of human elements to it that, like, obviously are involved with, like, supernatural weird stuff, but, like, the emotions there are very human.
Yeah, and I think that's
And.
what ends up making the gay elements and the romance in it, for me, the most affecting out of any Clamp that I've read. I am like consistently invested in Watanuki and Domeki's relationship. It's not drawn out as explicitly as some of their earlier stuff, which is a bit annoying, but whatever. They're in love. They smooch. They just do it off screen. We all know it. But it's just, they've got the whole like supernatural fated lovers thing going on, but I feel like there's like a core of them vibing as people underneath all that. Which makes it easier to relate to and be invested in their relationship as two characters. So.
The other thing that Holic doesn't have, or at least not that I remember, it doesn't have any freaking age gaps, in any of the major romances or even the side romances. I think everyone is fairly age appropriate for each other, which is a breath of fresh air in Holic or in Clamp universe. I don't have to say, okay, it's really good, but also there is a relationship between a 10-year-old and a 37-year-old, just for you to be aware of. Like, there's none of that in Holic. If there is, I blocked it out successfully, but I didn't read it that long ago, so I don't think there is.
That's Clamp.
That's Clamp. That's Clamp. Thank you everyone for all of your wonderful questions. I'm sure plenty of what we've said has probably got some people's hackles up. I don't think that anything we've said is too controversial or at least unfamiliar. They're pretty familiar criticisms for, discourse around Clamp. I think fans are already aware of the wild variations of opinions on this. And also I think a lot of Clamp fans who, were fans of them in their teen years when revisiting a lot of the stuff that they love are like, oh my God, oh my God, what? No, I read this as a 12-year-old? What the? Oh.
I
So
think,
yeah.
with stuff like the age gaps or, some of the gender stuff that we've been talking about, it's always important to engage with your art critically. But also, I want to just reiterate that if you're someone who really loves Clamp, who sees a lot more value in their stuff than we do, that is so great. We are happy for you. I like plenty of series and stuff that are on the controversial side. So does G. And, love what you love and don't love what you don't love. And that's cool. And we hurt you.
You are not incorrect for enjoying something that has issues. You're not, a bad person if you're a fan of Clamp, nor would we ever say that you are. And if you love their series, if you just continue onwards in your life as a Clamp fan, regardless of all of the, people who say that they're bad or that they're not worth reading or whatever, the only reason they're popular is because of nostalgia. Just be happy and enjoy the things that you love, because that's really what we're all about here on this podcast. For as much
Don't
as we like
worry.
t
Be
to
happy.
complain. Exactly. If you're not
Yeah.
hurting anyone, just keep being you.
Same disclaimer as our Junji Ito episode, which is also like,
Yes.
we want to throw in some less than positive opinions into the mix of our many years of podcasting for variation.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. If we just talked about things that we loved, I mean, it would certainly be easier. But in saying that, I do like having a more mixed bag of a podcast episode like this one. And as for Clamp, the group themselves, they are uber popular. Even now, they are so successful, wealthy, I'm sure. Us idiots on a podcast aren't taking any of that away from them, and it's fantastic that they have had such a long and successful career, doing presumably what they love. So, yeah, for all of the gripes and issues that we may have, they're just putting out their art into the world, and it is imperfect art, but isn't that what being an artist is all about? Just making what you love, and leaving it for the world to decide whether to latch on to
What
it
to
or
do with
not.
it? Yep. And people
Exactly.
have, and good for them.
Yes, so much so. But thank you everyone who sent in your questions. There was a lot of them. Hopefully we answered them all to your satisfaction. Obviously we couldn't speak to every Clamp series that's ever been released. We certainly don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't know about you, right? But it would have been 3 times as long and probably not nearly as interesting. Next month is April, and we're doing something a little bit different. Something that I'm very excited about. We are doing the first episode of what Ray has very affectionately called G's light novel corner. In saying that, this is not a light novel, but it is a novel of a variety. We will be talking about the smash hit popular Danmei series, currently available in English from Seven Seas, Heaven Official's Blessing by MXTX.
Yes, this
We
is
can talk.
actually my first foray into Danmei at all. So that's exciting. G is much more well-read and aware than I am. I am a novice, which is often how I come into these things.
For once, I have the more knowledge on something. I may not be able to read Japanese. I sure as hell can't read Chinese, but
Neither
I do
can
know some
I.
stuff. So, if you have any questions for us regarding Heaven Official's Blessing, aka Tianguan Sifu, let us know. Leave any comments or questions for us either in the descript or the comment section at YouTube or on Twitter. Just reply to us once I put out the call for questions. That always seems to work pretty well.
I'm stealing the call to action from G. Whatever platform you happen to be watching this podcast on, if you enjoyed it, we would love it if you would just pop a rating on there or a like or whatever the apparatus is where you're watching. It really would help us out.
Yes, it's a little thing, but it means a lot, and I didn't tell you, but Anchor FM has switched to Spotify for podcasters now. There are 91 people following us on Spotify, which is an amazing number to know about.
Ooh,
Because I
that's too
presumed it
many.
was three, and one of two of
Yeah.
those were you and me. So, you know, it's We really do appreciate everyone who listens, everyone who engages with us, anyone who asks questions. And hopefully you guys all enjoy it. And those likes, those ratings, those reviews, are just a small way we would really appreciate, if you could do. But yes, thank you all so much for listening. As always, I am G. You can follow me on YouTube at Simply G or on Twitter at G, that's GEE underscore reads. You can also find Ray on social medias. She's on YouTube as Whimsical Picture. She's also on Twitter at Whimsical Pics, that's PIX, all one word. Is there anything else we need to plug? I don't think so.
Nope.
No. So thank you guys so much for listening. I will see you in the next episode. Bye till then.
Bye, guys.